Hey Tiger, this podcast contains language and explicit themes.
How would you describe yourself?
As nothing. There's no self.
How would you like to be remembered?
Doesn't matter.
What were your dreams as a child?
Nightmares.
Hey. Welcome back, old-timers. Welcome in, newcomers, to this body. Welcome in to this body. A podcast about being in a body. It's me, your host, Sophia, coming to you from the California high desert on a windy-ass fucking day. Ugh, Jesus Christ, I've had enough of these Santa Anas. But always the season, it seems. I've been obsessed with Southern California weather more than usual recently, obviously in the wake of fires and what's been happening in Los Angeles, the whole evacuation night, constantly coming back to me with each blow of the wind. Also in partially self-imposed exile out here in the high des, though it doesn't actually feel like it's an option to go back to my house in North Pasadena. I actually did go back briefly on Sunday after spending the weekend at a hotel in Silver Lake. Actually, let me just shout out the Silver Lake Inn and Pool and their restaurant Marco Polo. Part of the Pali Hotels, Pali Society. This place was so wonderful to me this past weekend. They gifted me two free nights at their absolutely divine establishment. It is nice, you guys. Like, it's pricey. And they have diptyque products in the rooms. They gave me a free espresso martini. When I checked into my room, there was a decadent cake waiting there for me. I wolfed that down without any consideration for my vegan diet because in times like these, this is exceptional. These are exceptional times. And little gifts like that, you don't turn your nose up at things like that. My dog was allowed to stay there. They waived the resort fee. And I know that Pali Hotels have been really working hard to give displaced people a little bit of rest and relaxation. And, I mean, I'm sure it's a tax write-off or whatever for them, but it doesn't really matter because it did the trick. And the people that worked there were super lovely. And luxury is just really fucking good, you guys. I believe every single one of us should have access to loads of money and a perfectly climate-controlled, amazing-smelling suite whenever we need it. Thank you, Pali Society, for bringing that into my life. So before we go on, dear listener, if you have been listening to this pod for a while and you like it and you're a return offender, a repeat offender, if you would be so kind, would you please leave me a glowing 5-star review? Leave it for this broken-hearted LA woman. Do it for the city. And if you want to support me and the pod as I figure out our next moves in this frightening and unpredictable thing called life, join my Patreon. Think of it like a GoFundMe, but you get me in your ear. Patreon.com/thisbodypodcast. For less than a price of a latte, you get more me live and rare, uncensored, and so on and so forth. On Friday night, I went to the Troubadour with my friend whose house burnt down. It was a benefit concert put on by Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day and his covers band, The Cover-Ups. It was really fun. I was so happy to go to the Troubadour because back in the pandemic, it almost closed down. And at the time, I thought to myself, damn, be really a bummer if I never got to go there again. So great venue, really effortless night. And I have to thank a patron for that experience. Thank you so much, patron Anna, for hooking that up. My friend also wanted me to pass her thanks along too. It just was a really cute time. We smiled for a couple of hours. It was silly, you know. One of the musicians who was involved in the organization, I think, his house burnt down. He got up on stage and he said, "My house burnt down, but you can't burn down rock and roll." I mean, that is just the ticket, just the absurd ticket in these absurdist times. It's the theater of the absurd 2025. Whoa. So these winds out here in the desert, it's just giving me PTSD. I just checked my watch app, watch duty app, where you see if fires are impending, but there's nothing. It's just totally normal out here to have these wild days. Far out. Trauma lives in the body. This is going to be quite the journey. I can feel it. I can see from people's Reddit posts, everyone is fucked up.
Okay, listen, all of you people who are out there, you're on whatever, FaceTalk, Instabook, TalkTube, UTIC, X-Ray, formerly Tweezer. You need to get yourself squared away. I mean, just an alert. Just watch out what you're doing.
I am anxious. I am having an anxious day today. The weekend was a reprieve from this new reality that I have to chart. Not that fun. So it's any wonder that I want to go back inside my suite at the Pally House. Why must I face this life? Where is my wealthy savior? I am ready for you now. You know, one of the things that if I could engage in a struggle mentally, which I really can't right now, so these are just thoughts that float through my mind, and under normal circumstances, this would be a thought that I would hold on to and turn over and walk around and see if I can make sense of. You know how the fires got lots of people's houses and then some people's houses were spared and it's all very random and a twist of the wind? It's all to do with where those embers randomly sparked. Those of us whose homes were saved and who didn't suffer significant damage, there's this very strong urge to want to say that it's like God's work that my house didn't burn down. And the second that you go there and actually put those words together in a format, you realize that is not true unless God is a racist and a plethora of other really negative things, like a complete fucking asshole. So, you know, what does that mean if you buy into that idea? It's interesting because when I was in yoga teacher training, the conversations around karma, they were always like so spiky because this is just something that's like was written down a long time ago as a way of trying to make sense and balance out of the universe, that all things are cause and effect, and you know, extending that to being deserving or not deserving of suffering. And I never figured it out then. I just knew that it made me really angry because I felt like it was just very unjust for something that's trying to make justice out of an unjust world. It's a very unjust way of looking at things. All this to say, there is this feeling inside of me of like, oh, I was saved by God. I was guided by voices. But I know that that's not it. That is not it. If I could wrestle and struggle with the concept and the philosophy right now, I would, but I can't. So these are the thoughts that float through my mind that I just watch go by, just sit and watch as tears go by. But yes, on Sunday, after I checked out of the hotel, I went back to my house in North Pasadena. And before I headed up into the sort of more affected areas, I pulled over and let my dog out because I didn't want her wandering around on my street because of the dust and the ash and stuff. And it was so weird. I was down by Gamble House. People were bicycling and running and everything just felt so normal. And I was like, oh my God, can I just go home? Is everything just normal? Am I being silly to be thinking of moving out of this place? Everything seems fine. And then I realized, hang on, that it is definitely not fucking fine. And I knew that I had to actually go and look a little bit of what's happened because I haven't looked at it. I've been back once, I've seen stuff online, and I decided not to go look because I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see Altadena burnt to the ground, of course. But I realized that that's actually what I needed to do. So after I gathered a couple of things from my house, which feels very spooky, everything's still fine inside, a little bit more smoky smell around the neighborhood, but everything's cool. So I drove up Lake Avenue, and I had to stop two times because I was crying so much. Yeah, my body caught up with my mind and my mind caught up with my body, and it is definitely not fucking normal. It's a horror. It is a goddamn horror. And yeah, I mean, at the very least, wear a goddamn mask when you're outside. It was awful. And it was a relief to come back out to the peace of the desert. You know, there's always something crazy going on. And right now, it's actually not crazy that people are protesting. I believe it's in all 50 states now against these ICE raids, but as of like yesterday, it seemed to have started in Los Angeles with protesters on the freeway and stuff. And I'm worried for them. I'm worried that ICE will come and arrest all the protesters. It just worries me in 2025 and in America. It's never been a place that I felt like my human rights are protected, which is kind of what makes protests effective and healthy. But when you're in a country that's veering into whatever the fuck is going to happen next, scary. And it's always been scary. It's always been like, you know, guns. So anyway, I'm worried for the protesters, and it's such a heartbreaker, and it is just really fucking nice to be far, far away because I think I've just reached my quota for a little while of how much I can take, how much revving of the engine I can take. I'm only a middle-aged vehicle, so I've got a few more miles left in me, but, you know, there's some parts that I need to order, wait for. They're coming from far, far away. But I really do want to go back to LA. I feel like such an LA woman. I've been there for such a long time. And recently, in the past year, I built 3 yoga classes from nothing. Started with one that had no students, and then I built it to 3 classes that are always pretty full. And I had to tell my boss that I was going to be out of commish for the foreseeable. And on that day, I got a fucking LinkedIn email congratulating me on 1 year at that studio. It's just like, oh man. I feel like I haven't been able to get a foothold these last few years. Every time, you know, you're like climbing the mountain and there are plateaus on the way up. Every time I reach a plateau after like a steep climb, something just gives. I go crashing down. Well, we all fall down, don't we? And we're all doing it pretty much in lockstep. Presidencies, pandemics, natural disasters.
Does anybody remember laughter?
I reckon. This is just not what I expected or envisaged for my adult life. I've had some good times, but now is not one of them. And actually, they've been really few and far between in recent years, to be quite honest with you. And I'm finding myself relating quite heavily to my now deceased elders and how they must have listened to me as a child and a teen and a young adult. Obviously, everything that I would have been saying would have just been like red flags to them. But after a lot of life, who can be bothered arguing? Especially with a young person who thinks that they know something. I actually think the best thing about young people is that they know nothing. Because if they knew anything, they would not launch. I mean, I guess the kids these days are failing to launch at all. They're so anxious. Same.
Babes, if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to rate, share, and subscribe. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And you can find me at Sophia Forever. The pod's on IG too. Thanks, Tiger.
Okay, so let's do a year in review. How about that? It's only been a month, but it feels like 20 years. Well, it's been a holiday in Cambodia, going off the rails on a crazy train. The tide's been high. I'm just holding on by a goddamn fucking thread at this point. 0 stars. This place sucks, except for the humans of LA. Over the weekend, I got tattooed at Strangelove in Alhambra in Los Angeles. They put on a fundraiser for Altadena. The Alhambra is like a few suburbs south of Altadena, same area, San Gabriel Valley. They called it LA Rose Day, and they had a bunch of custom flash for Los Angeles. Really cool stuff, and it was pumping in there. Lots of love for Los Angeles. I got the other side of my neck tattooed by Chris Conn. So on one side, I have a little dagger that I got him to do years ago, tiny dagger on my neck. It's very, for a neck tattoo of a dagger, it's very feminine. And I got him to do a tiny rose on the other side, matching angle for Altadena, for Pasadena, for Los Angeles, and for David Lynch. It was such a great experience. I wouldn't want to sit under the gun for hours at a time anymore, but a little 20-minute tickle, little tattoo, little pick-me-up, it feels really wonderful. And it's fun because at my age, I am not a young upstart who has not paid her dues. I have a back piece, I have sleeves, a little bit of chest tattooing. So I have earned the right to tattoo my neck and my hands and my face if I choose to. I don't think I will do my face, but you know, never say never. So the weekend was like a dreamy apocalypse. Met two really interesting Uber drivers. So the lady who drove us to the Troubadour on Friday, Saturday, I don't know, she was a younger woman in her maybe late 20s, early 30s from Afghanistan, escaped during some troubles a couple of years ago. Her whole family is back there. She drives Uber and she also works. For a nonprofit that facilitates housing for people that need help figuring out the system. And it was just like, oh my fucking God. This woman's like navigating the mean streets of LA in an Uber and helping other people get into housing. She's, I mean, what? Wow. And then on the way back, I had this gentleman driver who at first glance, I thought, uh-oh, I feel like this guy's going to be like a Trumper. He looked like, if he lived in the desert, he most definitely would be a Trumper. Bigger guy, big sort of biker beard, older. But as it transpired, he was no kind of Trumper. He's actually an ex-Hollywood stuntman and horse trainer and has a ranch in Sunland, Tahunga, which is like a couple of canyons to the west of Altadena. And we had such a fabulous conversation. And I thought, oh my God, I don't want to leave LA. Like, these people are so fascinating and so, not to overuse a really overused word. I mean, it's so dead sounding, diverse, diverse, diverse. We're all so goddamn sick of it that now it's not going to be a priority for employers anymore. So, and I often think about how words really matter. So diversity, it's not really the word I'm looking for here, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there are some wild, creative, driven, interesting, freewheelers, ballsy, brave, amazing Americans living in Los Angeles.
Well, how's everything out in L.A.?
L.A.? It's great. I continue to love it.
Have you been affected by the fires?
No.
Have you been affected by the floods?
No.
No?
No.
Have you been affected by taxes?
What?
Have you been affected by the homeless?
I don't know, Mom. How's Atlanta? Are you affected by the racism?
There was a softness to the people of Los Angeles this weekend. It was really, really great. And now I'm back out here in the desert where I do not yet have a life. It's messed up though. Like, I feel like a loser, even though the fire was not my fault. It's not my fault what happened, of course, but it's triggered a lot. So much emotional deluge. Like, there's guilt, there's shame, there's uncertainty and depression and just being freaked out and wanting to hide under the covers but being too anxious to relax in bed. I am getting enough sleep. I've seen that on Reddit, a lot of people just struggling with nightmares and not sleeping. And to that I say, get yourself to the weed store and overdose on indica edibles and you will not dream and you will sleep. I'm doing okay. I'm just not settled here yet. And I'm just not sure if I want to settle. But the fact of the matter is, well, one of the facts of the matter, lots of things to weigh up, but it is too expensive for me to start all over again in a new part of Los Angeles. Like, it would just cost so much. It would cost thousands and thousands of dollars because not only am I in a rent-stabilized place, but there's also the deposits that you have to pay and moving costs and everything. And it's like, then I will be liable for so much more rent. I have to run some numbers. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'd sooner move to Hawaii with the amount of money that I would have to put out just to move back into LA. So I'm anxious financially, physically, and psychologically. But they say that it's not possible to spiral if you're focused on a linear task. So Before we go into, I think I'm going to save the next part of our yoga ethics for modern living for our next episode, rather than get into a whole new topic. Let's just review the yamas against the backdrop of January. So if you're brand new,
Rhyme Fest.
That is pretty random because we're halfway through this series, Yoga Ethics for Modern Living, exploring the yamas and niyamas, the guidelines for spiritual life as laid out by the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali long, 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 long time ago. The first load are called the yamas, and they're the practices that inform how we treat others in the world so that we can live in a holistic way that serves our highest selves and make this world a better place. Whatever. So if you haven't already listened to all the episodes prior to this one, I encourage you to go back in the feed and do that, or you could just do a cursory Google search on the yamas and niyamas and get up to speed. Ahimsa. Number one, nonviolence. How I practiced ahimsa this month. Well, I have been in full self-care mode. Whether or not that is a sound financial decision doesn't matter, because at the end of it all, without a healthy body, having a good credit score isn't going to do any good. So I've been soft with myself. I've been prioritizing being nonviolent with myself, getting the sleep I need, handling things, but in a gentle way. You know how ahimsa leads into satya, and how nonviolence and truthfulness go together like a hand in glove. Well, I have been truthful this month in a personal relationship that is no longer serving me. A situationship. It has not ever met my needs, and I've somehow been able to tolerate it before the fires, in the before times. When the fires started, this person got in touch and was checking in, but then they disappeared for 48 hours. And, you know, I just realized, like, who needs it? Like, it didn't mean anything to me because I was so used to just, like, lame communication from this person. Before the fires, it was like really hard for me to end it. But the destruction of these fires have simply made it impossible to continue, because I just don't have the energy for the output required to twist the situationship into a shape that actually works in my life. It just doesn't work. And the funny thing is, I don't feel like I need to explain it to him, even though he keeps texting me. I don't feel like I need to say anything. The fire has just dwarfed everything else, and that's the truth. I just can't afford any leaks in my ship right now. I guess I might need to tell it to him straight, but even the thought of it is just too tiring. I think it's possible that he will keep chasing, because, you know, men love a chase. And to that I have to say this one. Okay, a stayer, non-stealing. How has this been manifesting for me in 2025? Well, materially speaking, I've not been at risk of stealing of late. Haven't had the urge to steal anything. I've been giving emotionally and physically, giving things to friends who need stuff. I guess one thing that I'm on edge about is the financial future, and this sort of unconscious, persistent feeling of dread. quiet hissing voice in my ear telling me I'm future fucking myself. But I don't believe it. I think I'm doing the right thing for now and I just have to take a Xanax and chill. Our next ethical pillar, holding it all together, Brahmacharya, non-excess, also known as not being a slut. Well, no chance of that. Right now for me, I might actually abstain from sex for all of 2025. I feel like this is a cursed year and opening up the channels of sexual intimacy, it really seems like opening up the door to hell or the void or Pandora's box or my box. Oh my gosh, you guys, if you like this show, you should join me over on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/thisbodypodcast and join up for extra body. You'll get early access to episodes, 2 bonus episodes a month, random drops here and there, and access to old seasons. I'm definitely not horny right now. Though when I was younger, tragedy tended to spur me towards wanting to affirm life through sex, but not of late. And embarking on getting sexual needs met is pretty far down the list. Non-excess in other areas, well, I haven't really been very excessive. I've been excessively watching Vanderpump Rules reruns, or just watching Vanderpump Rules again. And also that 70s show. I haven't watched that 70s show for like a week, but I just let it play after the fires and I thought in detail about each and every cast member and how weird it all turned out. But I don't feel like I am under the influence of excessive consumption right now, so that's good. I'll take that off my list. And then there's just a parigraha, non-hoarding. In the last episode, I got all the way into this yama, how to hold life with an open hand, try not to obsess and make sense of everything, and try to be fully present in the moment. And the fires forced us all to let go. Mentally, it's hard to let go when things happen so suddenly like that, and that's why I had the need to drive through Altadena, albeit very briefly, to help my brain catch up with my body. So that's good. We did the yamas. What studious little children of life we are. So next episode, we'll get into the niyamas, which are... I remember my friend Nora saying that the yamas are like how you treat others and the niyamas are like the me yamas, like how I treat myself. And honestly, I think it's good karma that we find ourselves poised at this precipice with these yogic codes on the horizon to explore, because so far, 2025 has been the devil of all dumpster fires. We will not thrive in Trump's America without boundaries and respect for others. I would also suggest that in addition to rigorous personal work, we should all stay home and avoid the outside chaos as much as possible for our own safety and for our mental health. I feel like participating in the news cycle and all the pillars and cogs of society and all the ways that they expect us to is just a way to keep revving our engines and buying in, and then they have our attention. I'm probably going to be entering into a phase of passive resistance just because I'm so, excuse the pun, burnt out. Who has the energy? Not me. And I've actually run out of energy for today too. Rate, review, subscribe, sign up for Extra Body over at patreon.com/thisbodypodcast. And until we meet again, eat something green, move your body, and hang tough, homie.
Listen up, everybody, if you wanna take a chance, just get on the floor and do the new kid's dance. Don't worry about nothing, cause it won't take long. We're gonna
gonna put you in a trance with our funky songs. Cause you gotta be
singing tough. Singing tough. Singing tough. Are you tough enough? Singing tough.